All right, Mark chapter 9, verses 38 through 50. Teacher, said John, we saw a man driving out demons in your name, and we told him to stop because he was not one of us. Do not stop him, Jesus said. No one who does a miracle in my name can in the next moment say anything bad about me. But whoever is not against us is not for us. I tell you the truth, anyone who gives you a cup of water in my name because you belong to Christ will certainly not lose his reward. Everyone, and if anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to be thrown into the sea with a large millstone tied around his neck. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than with two hands to go into hell, where the fire never goes out. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than to have two feet and be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into hell, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can you make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with each other. Just a couple of things with this, just to point out. Jesus is not telling you and me to pluck our eye out, literally. And he's not telling us to cut our hand off or our foot off. But he's telling us the importance of things that will prevent us in our own hearts from following Jesus. Don't let those things get in the way. See how vital and important it all is in relationship to heaven and to hell itself. We all want to go to heaven, don't we? But this scripture is also telling us there's nothing that we do to earn that salvation at all. We don't add to salvation. That's why he's saying just a cup of water. Anyone who gives you a cup of water in my name because you belong to Christ will certainly not lose his reward. The reward is already given, whether the cup of water is given or not. But following God, he is saying these are the fruits of following God. Just to even give a small cup of water. Given in the name of Christ is a part of the good works of God. They don't earn our salvation. God has already given us salvation to those who follow him, but this is the fruits of our labor. That even just that little bit is fruitful in following Jesus. In 1903, on December 17th, at Killdevil Hills in North Carolina, Orville and Wilbur Wright flew for 12 seconds. And then on their fourth flight, flew for 59 seconds. I don't like to fly. I hate it. I dislike that Orville and Wilbur Wright ever did this. I will fly from time to time. Under duress. Under duress and I have to and kind of need to kind of thing. But it is rare. I can count on my hand the number of times I've been in a plane. Maybe a little bit more than that. I have seven fingers and seven... No, I'm kidding. But we can recall now, even though many of us, we weren't born then in 1903, none of us here were, but life changed on this earth because of that. To the point that you can even see Elon Musk with his rocket into space and it coming back and the rocket itself landing itself in a tower. That's just truly amazing to me to be able to do that without it somebody flying it. It's all done through computer calculations and everything. And it's just truly amazing that on that first try he was successful in doing that. Who knows what the future will bring in terms of that. But there are events in our life, things that are significant, that becomes a before and after kind of thought. Some of you here recall when you got electricity in your house. Any of you recall that, when you got electricity in your house? Some of you are unwilling to raise your hand right now. I remember when we got cable for the first time in our house in 1988, and I was able to watch all the NASCAR races on Sunday afternoon. Now, that was a big deal. I missed all the other races the years before. NASCAR isn't what it used to be anymore. Did I turn this on? Yeah. I recall my parents both telling me when they remembered when they got the first light in their house. That's amazing. There's a before and after. And we had electricity out for how many days? At the parsonage, it was for 36 hours. How long was it for you, Kim? 8 days? Wow. Yeah. 3 days. Wow. And some had to go several weeks without power. And we go, how do we live without electricity, don't we? And we recall events like if I say the snowstorm of 1993, you all remember that, don't you? Yeah, you remember that because you remember how much snow came down. Do what now? I can't, it was a lot of snow. We had drifts that were above my knee in places among the terraces. So there's a before and after to these things. Maybe there's events in your life. It's a birth, a marriage. Maybe it's a time you spent in the hospital for a week. Or specific surgery or death that occurred. These events impact your life. And these disciples also had events that impacted their lives as they learned from Jesus alone. He called them to follow him. That was contrary to the way it was normally done. Normally the disciple went to the master and said, we're following you. Because they already agreed with everything that master was doing. But here, Jesus called them, and he was calling the disciples to agree with him and to learn and glean from him. And one of these things is in this story concerning the children, concerning what the person was doing, driving out demons and receiving these little ones to believe in him and not to sin. And so they were learning and they were gleaning from Jesus how to be a true follower of Jesus. If I were to ask you, what is the main event that has happened in the life of this church? I think I could honestly say to you is when this sanctuary was built. I've heard from many of you so many times about all the efforts and prayer, time and resources that went into constructing and designing and completing this sanctuary. In fact, under the pews where you are, there's many scriptures that are written by the faithful who were here as it was being constructed. I didn't write any of those scriptures, but probably right under your feet, you may be standing on verses of Scripture. That's impactful, folks, when we hear that. The foundation of the church isn't its building, but it's the very Word of God. And it's what makes a difference. We have before us, and I say this today, another impactful time for this church. And I hope we will see it as an opportunity and not as a distraction or something that is a bother to us. On Wednesday nights, we have 23 to 25 children and youth who are coming. Now, you don't see them here so much right now. You've seen some of them from time to time. You've seen some of them up here baptized. We have what churches would say, I'd love to have one youth or child in my church. I have talked to pastors who have said, we don't even have any. I can't go to that youth program or be a part of that children's activity. I don't even have any. In fact, Francis Asbury, the pastor there, just told me the first time in years he's actually going through a confirmation class with one student. And he is just in awe about doing that. We have roughly on our rolls about 40 children and youth of this church, whether they have grown up in this church or they have begun coming because we've taken a bus out and we've reached out to families and people to connect them to the church. And we have before us an impactful time for this church if we will all seize this moment and pray for these children and youth and their families. And that we will all seek to try to do something as a challenge and an opportunity to disciple that this church has before it. What a blessing God has given each of you, each of us, and for this church. Imagine what will take place in families down the road if this church has impacted their life through the good news of Jesus Christ. All our efforts will not be for naught, but they will be for good. And we will look back on this time, whether it's 5 years or 10 years or 15 or 20, and say this too was a point in time of significant change for this church. Now, I believe God is calling us to do what we have claimed to do all these many years, and I have seen in you, and I have heard from people who have visited this church and who've come to this church and who say, what a wonderful and warm and friendly church it is. That's the good news, folks. We've already got a great foundation in that alone. We just need to continue to do and seize the opportunity that God has us. And if anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to be thrown into the sea with a large millstone tied around his neck. You know what a millstone is, don't you? How much does a millstone weigh? And no one here can lift it. It would crush you. You couldn't even budge it without some kind of tool or instrument or tractor. He's basically saying how valuable these young souls are to God and how valuable they should be to you and me. Jesus said that we are to be the salt of the earth. You, salt of the earth. What does that mean to be the salt of the earth? The most significant moment in history is Jesus' birth, death, and resurrection. And next to that will be the second coming. But that won't matter for our history books or for our remembrance, because we shall be with God in heaven, living what God has promised to us in joy and fulfillment. And it is up to us to bring as many with us into the kingdom of heaven. To follow Jesus is to be the salt of the earth. The world has its problems. The world has its challenges to the church, where it is convinced to stay away from the church. There are more and more people in this nation who have turned a deaf ear to the church. And when they have done so, they unwittingly turn a deaf ear to Jesus as Savior. Jesus is saying, you need to be the salt of the earth. Our children and youth need to hear and see that the church is the salt of the earth. Salt cleanses, folks. Now, when I was a boy and riding down the on my bike, and I flipped over the bike and scratched up my elbows and my knees and didn't break my neck. It was in the day and time we didn't have helmets. You know, Amy says, that's what's wrong with you today. No, she doesn't do that much. But I remember in that day, in the 1970s, okay, it goes back that long, they didn't have Neosporin, folks. I was already crying. Mercuricone. Y'all remember those days of Mercuricone? It's like, gently, don't hardly touch it, you know. And you knew as soon as it went on, it was going to burn. But you knew it was going to get better too, because that Mercuricone was going to kill off all that infection that was trying to creep in. Salt cleanses, folks. That's what Jesus is trying to say. Salt cleanses the world of the sin that separates us from God. The church is to serve as salt to cleanse. Baptism is a sign and a symbol of being washed in the blood of Jesus, cleansed of our sin. And at one moment, justified perfectly, in another moment, sanctified, in which it is a work that we continue to try to reflect more and more the righteousness of God while still on this earth, but not when we cross the threshold into heaven. Our children, our youth, need the salt that cleanses. They don't need to hear, you just live however you want to. We're just going to hang out and be friends. I don't need that. I can get that anywhere else. The world already offers that. We need to offer Jesus. We need to offer what He has said. And you offer that. You offer that. Salt preserves, doesn't it? Ever heard of salted ham? Country ham? I'm not a fan of country ham, but some of you are. Priscilla's made me some not country ham sometimes, so I'd have a regular ham biscuit and stuff, but she's had some things with country ham. Some of you love country ham. You love the salt, but that salt was there because that was their only way of preserving the ham itself. The Word of God needs to be preserved in our hearts. The Word of God needs to be preserved in the hearts of our children and youth. And those who will come either on Wednesday nights or Sunday morning or both, or the hope for them to be here at all the activities of the church. but to preserve in them the Word of God, so that as they grow older, they'll teach their children the value of a relationship with Jesus Christ. Salt also brings flavor. Flavor. You know, if you put green beans in a pot filled with water and no salt and no fat back, what's it going to taste like?
Green beans.
Not going to be green beans that I want to eat. They're going to be yucky. They're going to taste flavorless. But with the salt, just the right amount, not too much now. Too much, and it becomes too salty. But with the right amount of salt, it gives it flavor, doesn't it? It enhances what the green beans or whatever else that you're making taste. Too much of it can give you high blood pressure, so be careful of that. But salt brings flavor. Jesus Christ is not for dead people. Jesus Christ is not for us to be people who never laugh or never exhibit joy or seek to suck the life out of people. Jesus Christ is to give us life and give us joy in the face of the obstacles of this world. And when people may say things that are difficult for us or hard on us, we can still know that we are filled with the salt of Jesus Christ that brings joy and hope and peace to us. See, I have hope and peace and joy for this church because of the significant events that have happened in the life of this church. Whether it's from the point in time where y'all determined as a church, yes, we're going to build this sanctuary. And we've been able to fill this sanctuary where there was 175 people in it on an Easter morning. Praise God, hallelujah. But that doesn't sustain itself without us continuing to build the kingdom of God. And we're doing so now with a new thing before us of children and youth and families that who may or may not have been going to church beforehand. And we have the opportunity to seize on that and to grow our church to the point in time that we will be able to say, it is because we built that church. It is because we were faithful and gave. It is because we attended. It is because we prayed for. It is because we did this that we can see that God has blessed it and multiplied it. We are determining whether to be a part of God's plan or we want to be a part of our own plan. Which one do you want to be a part of? I want to be on God's plan, don't you? And I think you do too. And I believe that you do too. And we can then go to God and meet Him face to face one day and say, when He says He knows us, we did these things in Your name. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, just bless our time together this day. Let us be encouraged to do and to serve as You have called us to do. And let us be fruitful. And let us be a blessing to others. Lord, we pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.